Jay Rosen, you're the teacher and writer on journalism who said to me memorably some months ago, the terms of authority in American journalism are changing. What can you say about that transformation after the Democratic Convention?
Well, Chris, from 1960 to 2000, the political conventions were more and more dominated by the television networks and what they said about them. And the event actually changed into a television-friendly, television-saturated event. Well, the symbol of that was, of course, the network Skybox, and one got the sense that the power and the sort of the meaning of the event was being pulled upward. If you weren't there, you didn't really exist. The anchors themselves not only talked over the event, but it was their narrative that set the convention story. But now, with the major networks having all but abandoned the convention, with new players coming in, and with unusually intense interest in politics, one got the sense this year, in 2004, that the skyboxes were mostly for show, that they had lost a lot of their significance, and that the action was elsewhere.
They missed Barack Obama's big speech. I mean, they were out of it. They're almost gone, seems to me.
Yeah, it's almost like a ship that's vanishing over the horizon. And a lot of people at the convention were speculating that this is the last year it'll even be like this. So that pattern lasted about 40 years, in which politics adjusted itself to television, to a one-to-many communication model, and more or less sold its soul to another group of players who didn't necessarily find politics all that interesting or important. One of the things that struck me while I was there, Chris, was that between the conventions and television, it was a case of unrequited love. That the conventions were kept saying, television, we love you. Look, we'll change this. We'll build our podium so it looks like a studio. We'll sculpt our politicians so they look like actors. We'll speak in sound bites. And television was just kind of walking away at the same time. And this was true for a long time, but now it's become unmistakable. 3 hours after gavel-to-gavel coverage is just so little, so meager, it's crumbs, that it's forcing people in politics to think in different ways. So you saw the explosion of other media at this convention that really, in the end, are going to take the momentum away from these big players who aren't all that big.
The most important player must still be cable, but this was the convention which bloggers got credentialed to. The new technology, the cheap technology, the democratic technology was everywhere. So what's the effect?
Well, a lot of different effects. One effect is that the people in the party think that they can communicate the convention themselves. They're broadcasting it on their web page. They have ways of reaching people directly. So that's one thing. It was a striking sight that the corridors of the Fleet Center, which, by the way, is a terrible arena, were jammed on the first and the fourth floors with talk radio temporary studios that had been set up shoulder to shoulder. These talkers were operating live from the convention as throngs of people passed by and kind of watched media being made in front of their eyes. I thought that was interesting. The bloggers more or less walked off the street with credentials to cover the convention and wrote about whatever they wanted to write about. Didn't accept necessarily the script of the major news media going in. That was significant. Comedy as a way for people to view politics had a huge place at the convention. The Daily Show almost has the people and apparatus and facilities of a news network, so that tells you something. What hasn't changed, however, and this is significant, is the idea of controlling every signal, every message from the center, of putting it all together as sort of one seamless propaganda show, this managerial impulse to get a certain message out and to ram it home and to repeat it over and over and to drill it into your brain, which developed during the television era, that's still there. And what the parties are trying to do now is continue that regime, through a much more distributed media system with low barriers to entry. And that's a contradiction that's going to collapse eventually.
Jay Rosen, when you talked to me so excitingly about the transformation of media last fall, part of the resonance was my feeling that we were in a terrible dump about information in this country. The world and the media were still in denial about the failure of the war in Iraq. The Jason Blair thing was a very small token of, it seemed to me, a just collapse of credibility in the more and more commercial and a lot of it propagandistic American media. And Democratic media, me sitting at a hotel breakfast table with you with a mini disc, seemed to have huge promise, probably just to let plain voices into the conversation, the public conversation. Are we still heading in that direction?
Well, we are underneath the surface. The old system is still in place. There's still powerful players in it. It's trying to adapt, just like the big news combines are trying to adapt. And yet, the conditions that created that whole system continue to ebb away. And so it's going to take some time. During the primary system, you had the extraordinary case of a political campaign, the Dean campaign, that was actually, in a sense, running on that transformation. And it was the representative of those forces. Of course, it lasted a certain interval, and because Dean lost, and a much more conventional politician, but also a more conventional campaign, the Kerry campaign, won, it appeared that politics as usual triumphed. But that is true only, I think, on the surface. In 2008, I think you'll see a very different pattern than in 2004. And a lot of players in the political game understand this. I got this sense that everybody kind of knew this is like the last year for things as they were. And that, to me, is a very good thing.
That's the politics. Let's talk about the media politics. You know my view of what happened to the Dean campaign. It wasn't Kerry that beat him. It was conventional media. It was the dinosaurs of the news magazines and the networks with the Scream Tape and others that crushed independent, bottom-up media such as we're using today. It was the revenge of the old media against the new pups.
I think that's a factor. I don't think that accounts for everything. The problem was that the Dean campaign and its brainy advisors had to do two things at once. They had to tap the energy of this transformation, as you've called it, and then they had to win within the terms of conventional politics. And there might have been a way to do that, but it takes tremendous art and skill to handle both of those things.
But let's stick with the media story. What I saw happening in January and February was the past in media eating up and spitting out the future.
Yeah.
The big dogs chased away the little pups.
Okay.
And said, no, we'll win this with magazine covers, not bottom-up conversation.
Right. Well, the story that was missed by the press during that entire season was there was a war in the Democratic Party between people who had learned to speak, message speak, and control from the center and use the broadcast media to broadcast their message on the one side, and the Dean forces allied with technology, tapping the resentment against politics as usual on the other side. And that war was missed as a story from the beginning. To me, that there were always two fights going on. There was the fight for the nomination, and there was this fight between old politics and new. And what happened was that the one thing from the new politics that got saved and transferred to the Kerry campaign, internet fundraising,
yes,
is now seen as sort of the whole story, because as long as you focus on fundraising alone, then you can actually take this transformation and make of it something rather small in the end. But the same conditions that allowed for this more participatory campaign for president, that spread the campaign outward from the handlers and advisors and funders out to people who were for the first time getting engaged, that all the conditions for that are still there. And the internet fundraising is not the only significance of those events. So it's almost like it's like a beast on its last legs, in a way, that is going to be replaced and almost knows it, even though we can't quite see the shape of what's to come. So the journalists never understood what was going on in that moment. They had this one thing, the fundraising, that enabled them to say, we're hip, we're tuned to what's new, because look, now they're raising money on the internet, because that fits into the old politics. And so now that's the token for everything new. But this understanding, or lack of, is not going to last very long. We'll see. After this election cycle, I think the entire dynamic of raising money, of engaging people in politics, is going to change. There are new players in the process. Many people who never had any involvement in politics whatsoever, who are engaged and are not going to go away. Following those people and what they do is going to be the story of the transformation.
Jay Rosen, for years now, I associate you with a heroic effort to bring the public conversation to the kitchen, to the people, away from the stars. And that involves both big media and the new little ones. I just wish you'd assess the performance of the big media, the cathedrals in this convention, and the little bloggers who finally came out of the woods and get recognized, even by name and face. How did they do?
Well, there were about 30, maybe 50 at most, bloggers, and 15,000 on the other side. So it was a small group. However, the bloggers became, in the first day especially of the convention, sort of the story for a little while, which was
amazing.
Striking, yeah. And I think the reason for that is that there's a big arrow over their heads that points forward. They represent the future. They, two journalists. And that's why they were interested in them. The convention narrative didn't change all that much from what it's been for a long time. But what is different is I don't think there's any conviction in that narrative anymore. You know the state is about to fall when its operatives don't believe anymore.
And where do you see the symptoms in the big papers or the networks?
Well,
the fact that the networks weren't here, but how about the papers? How about the
for
Times?
One thing, the rush by many major news organizations to have bloggers themselves, to either sign them up or to designate somebody on their own staff to blog the convention, even though they didn't quite understand what that meant. They're trying in their own way to get with it. They're also, when you ask people, why are you here? What are you doing here? And they give you an answer that is basically a joke. It's basically saying, I don't know why I'm here. I'm. It's just a big party. It's just a big social event. Right? What they've done is they've lost their own conviction about what they're doing. People in the blogging world were much more alive and interested and amazed by where they were. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I realized when I was there, Chris, that the problem journalists have with the convention is that they understand it too well. They know way too much. And there's no mystery in politics left for them. There's nothing they need to discover. They believe that their knowledge can dominate this game. I don't necessarily think that's true. In fact, I think it's untrue.
Were you reading the newspapers during this convention?
Scanning them online, because I was rushing from one thing to the other, and as far as I was concerned, I was competing with the newspapers, in a way. Not that I was trying to give, you know, daily
Except
news.
You were feeling, I know the bloggers feel this way, a little bit hipper, even than the celebrity newspaper writers.
I wouldn't say hipper, but I felt I had many advantages. I felt freer, that's the thing, because PressThink went to the convention, and when I got there, I realized I could do any damn thing I want. I can define this event any way I want. And I can call a player anyone I regard as a player. And therefore, politics changes because it is subject to the freedom of interpretation that it always should have.
You are David Brinkley. You are Walter Cronkite in the booth.
Well, yeah, or Mencken, or Hunter Thompson, you know, or Tom Wolfe, or others. So the fact that the bloggers could define this event any way they wanted and write about any part of it that they wanted and also get people to talk to them and discover the convention in their own way is, I think, extremely significant. Now, they had a little trouble because it's sort of like you get there, you get set up, you look around and you ask yourself, what am I doing here? And many of the bloggers had never really covered anything. They don't go and observe things. they wait for the news media to do it, and then they react to that. So this was a new situation for them. But that's exactly how an art advances, by being thrown into new situations where you don't necessarily know what to do. I don't think journalists even believe anymore that they have a great handle on where things are going. For example, the unprecedented intensity of people's interest in the campaign is not something that you could have predicted from all the stories about politics that we've heard up to now. And so this is a different year, it's a different world. It struck me that the press was, in a sense, going through the motions, while the bloggers were first initially defining their motions.
You're so right. I'm fascinated, Jay, by this sort of middle zone, this sort of industrial belt of cable that has taken over the real coverage. It's not cathedral journalism. It's not bottom-up populist, sort of, here's my view. It's ranters. It's very commercial. It's sometimes very manipulative, and sometimes it's very, very good. What do we make of this?
I wandered out to the floor last night after the event, and Larry King had a panel of John Cusack and another guy I didn't recognize. It was more like a theater.
It's always a black guy and a white woman and then a few other shouters.
Well, this was a panel of people who were more cultural figures than journalists or political people. And I think one of the effects of cable is that it is bringing popular culture into the discussion of politics and widening the voices that one hears from, but in a very controlled fashion. So you have kind of a war. You have the old pundits, the old experts, people who understand politics in the old ways, and then this occasionally new group of people who get on the air and are allowed to comment on the convention. And from my point of view, an actor who, in a sense, is coming from a layman's point of view can sometimes be just as good as a professor or pollster. And when I saw walking around the convention the old style political pollsters and consultants and handlers, it just seemed to me that the event had grown beyond them and politics has grown beyond them, because all of their authority and all of their power begins with the idea that we can send a message from the center to millions of people and kind of hit the hot spots in their brain, and then the answer comes back in the polls, and then we'll refine the message a little bit more and we'll send it back out, and then we'll look at the polls again. They may believe that life will go on indefinitely that way, but I don't.
For me, Jay, the test has become, in my own slogan, sort of take back the conversation. Can regular people bring street corner American judgment to these issues, which have been so dominated by, you know, the suits or the professionals or the pollsters or the manipulators or the rock stars, the Bigfoot journalists of our world? Are we still moving in that direction?
Well, you know, we're getting somewhere when the Bigfoots have to acknowledge that there is something out there that they didn't anticipate and they can't necessarily control. So we're getting there, but the system is very flexible and it reacts to new things. It absorbs something like bloggers by, for example, designating old-style journalists to be bloggers and kind of imitate, in a way, what the new. So I think we're getting there. It's just the word transformation might be accurate for sort of underlying conditions, but the system as it stands is still going forward. It may be a little bit empty. It might lack some conviction. It certainly doesn't have a lot of energy and creativity and bounce and belief to it, but it's still very powerful and very big. And I think we're going to see a dialogue between politics as usual and this other politics. I'll give you a little scene from this. Obama, the star of the convention, came to talk to the bloggers on Monday. Very charismatic guy.
Mm.
And the first thing he said was, well, I have a weblog, and he said, I might even ask you for some tips about it, right? So as soon as I heard him say that, I shouted out from my seat, write it yourself. That's my tip, write it yourself, because that really would be a transformation. And, of course, I knew he wasn't going to write it himself. He's got a staff to do it. And he said to me, oh, as soon as I find 10 to 12 free hours in a day, I will do that.
This is Howard Dean used to say.
Yeah. But he really doesn't get it in that sense, because if he did write it himself, he would be part of the transformation. But he thinks that he can just have a blog, have a staff person do it, and bingo, you know, I'm with it. That really won't work. But eventually somebody's going to come along who's going to take the lesson that the Dallas Mavericks owner, Mark Cuban, is learning, which is if you can speak directly to people about your basketball team and why it's doing what it's doing, you instantly make irrelevant every sports writer in Dallas, Fort Worth, because you can speak yourself. That's the message from the top. But as people learn from the bottom that they can communicate to others who have the same concerns without going through the mass media, that discovery is going to march along. Once people learn that they could make their own television with video cameras, they assimilated that as a normal part of life.
Well, once Obama learns that it's not a waste of his time or a distraction of his time, it's the best imaginable use of his time, things will be different.
Yes, but it's going to take a long time for people who have been raised in a system to learn that. But it's the outsiders to the system who are going to push it. And the bloggers, for all their faults and shenanigans and self-absorption, really were the new at this convention. They represented the new. And that is why they received so much attention. The other thing that happened was a lot of people actually did take a look at weblogs for the first time and read them, especially in the press, and read what was there. And some of them, especially younger reporters, I think are starting to get it, that there is something there that they're missing.
Jay Rosen, always a pleasure. Thank you. It's a pleasure and a lesson, too. Thanks, Jay Rosen.
Chris, you are the transformation.
Let's keep doing it.